Sing it up, in general, is good for everyone. By the time we took up the reins of hosting, we knew that potluck existed and invited others to bring a dish rather than try to do it all of ourselves. Like everyone, we figured out how to get everything to the table done and possibly still warm at the same time, though it took more than a few tries at that one. The thing is, I have been really lucky. I've been lucky to live close enough to family for all these years. Nowadays, we gather at my brother's house because my 96-year-old mother is close by. Maybe she'll have the energy on Thursday to join us for a few hours, to soak in the love of children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren for another year. There will be extended family there to bring in fresh energy and new stories. It will be chaotic, and these days, the toddlers and babies always steal the show. The passage of time has not improved my gravy, and I've bequeathed the apple pie mastery to my son, Alex. I will be bringing the sweet potatoes and be grateful to my sister-in-law and brother for their hospitality. Every year, we see how much we have changed again, set against that strange tableau of turkey and human community. Those who are missing and those who have just arrived hold a special place at the table. Our hearts overflow for the struggles and joys, spoken and unspoken, yet fully lived in between. Inside these memories, I see what grounds me and connects me. That steady hand of family is a blessing in my life. While we are always strangers to one another on some level, we're also not alone unless we choose to be. I hope that you have family, whether given or created, that keeps you coming back. Family that reminds you that you matter and that who you are and who you are becoming is nothing less than a miracle. And if you find yourself far from those you love, I hope you will consider letting this congregation be your family. I have several invitations for guests waiting to be filled, so see me after the service if you're looking for a place. And truly, from my heart, happy Thanksgiving to all.
I did not grow up in this country. When I was a small child, my parents and my sister and I left the United States for Buenos Aires, Argentina, and Lima, Peru, where we made our home for 15 years of my childhood. And we found a lot of common ground at the international schools where we attended and worked, with people representing over 40 countries from around the world. Thanksgiving, however, was a time of year when we were especially aware of our U.S. citizenship, for it was only us and other U.S. expatriates who understood late November as a time to be grateful in specific ways. And we had a problem, or several, actually. There were no parades, no Macy's, no TV specials, nothing to get us into the Thanksgiving spirit. Also, there weren't any turkeys, there weren't any cranberries, and there weren't any pumpkins. We were in different food cultures. Furthermore, there weren't any multicolored corn cobs or dried hay or fall foliage because it was spring south of the equator. Now, many of those things we could approximate. We substituted in chicken and local fruit. We made pies from various kinds of squash. And we made beautiful table decorations from the bounty of what was the November Southern Hemisphere equivalent of May flowers. But the main things we didn't have were the familiar faces around the table. And it was people we missed the most. We were 6,000 miles away from grandparents, aunts and uncles, cousins. Thanksgiving became a time of potential intense loneliness. So we made sure to have plans of some kind. Some years we'd gather with fellow country persons at the American Club, where the U.S. ambassador and staff would preside over a rather grand affair. Often there would be visiting dignitaries at the table. I remember vividly Henry Kissinger being at one of those luncheons. Other times we'd combine our efforts with fellow American friends and their kids for a potluck feast. Sometimes it was warm enough to have a barbecue that segued directly into a pool party. No pool parties today, I would imagine. But the meals my family and I remember most were those times when we invited to our family table non-Americans, Peruvians, Argentines, or expatriates from other foreign countries. Those years, we took on the mantle of explaining and introducing the American Thanksgiving traditions to those for whom it was a novelty. Because we lived in countries with varying shadows of U.S. financial and political colonialism, parallels with pilgrim visitors in a land not their own were particularly uncomfortable. So we discussed the hard historical edges of the story that informed the holiday, but we also came to learn how unique a national pastime Thanksgiving is. A hearkening back to a meal among strangers, laced with suspicion and perhaps painful memories, but motivated by a spirit of inclusion and sharing. The metaphor of the open table was being lived out by us on those occasions. And I think we recognize the model it provided for welcoming into community persons who may well be outside usual patterns of in-group gathering. It's this lesson I have taken from those childhood meals. Thanksgiving is a time when you eat with people who are different. When you share your native customs, seeing them as if for the first time through the eyes of the uninitiated. A chance to forge relationships with new friends that might last the whole year through. I'm pleased that this year, in our congregational family, we've gathered to share the breads of our lives with one another. May breaking bread be a symbol and an enactment of the power of breaking open our hearts. And let us be thankful this morning together.
Thank you.
So if you are one of our bread bringers today, I invite you to come forward. I'm going to hear a little bit about what your bread means to you. Start with whoever gets here.
So my name's John Hoffman, and I made this Anadama bread to celebrate Corey and my New England heritage. Beyond that, 23andMe tells me I'm a Northern European mutt.
I'm Lynn Dash, and I brought this French bread. Jan and I started our married life in France, and wonderful French bread. And this one has rosemary sprinkled on it because it was in Provence where you can just walk outside and the rosemary just grows. So it was wonderful to just go pick it.
I'm Barbara McDermott, and this bread is bread that I frequently made for my children. It has lots of nice memories for us. They ate it because of the honey and orange juice that was in it. That's how they got to like it.
Hi, I'm Allison. And that's Toby. And we made this challah, which is the traditional bread of the Jewish Sabbath. And in our family, on Friday nights, even if we don't have challah, we hold hands around the table and just give thanks for each other and for the food.
Hi, I'm Woody Ross, and I think those who know me know that my wife, Eleanor, is under the full-time care of a certified home health aide who hails from Ghana. Well, earlier in the week, we learned that back in Ghana, Alice was a baker.
Uh-huh.
And I said, would you like to bake bread? And she was just absolutely overjoyed. So this is a Ghana recipe. It's basically white bread with lots of butter, eggs, nutmeg, sugar, and vanilla. It's quite sweet, but they seem to like it that way over there.
Good morning. I'm Joan Robertson. I did a little bit of cheating only because my heritage is Italian, and I figured Italian bread would be definitely brought in. So what I did was I chose sourdough bread, which is from San Francisco, which is where my daughter is. So it holds a special place in my heart. So we brought sourdough bread.
Hello, my name is Steve Knowlton, and I also made Anadama bread. My grandmother used to make it in the 50s, and I may remember the name because it rhymes with grandma, but it is not the bread she made. It's good, but it was a white, kind of a white bread. This has molasses in it. It's good, but again, not my grandmother's bread. It's a New England recipe, though, when she was from Massachusetts.
Hi, I'm Joel DeWitt, and this is my sourdough, which has become a habit perforce because there's a vat of bubbling goo in my refrigerator that I have to keep alive, and this comes out of it, and I hope somebody enjoys it.
Hi, I'm Kathy Passiano, and Thea and I made the Irish soda bread in the front. It's my great-grandmother's recipe, so don't ask for it. And it does not have caraway.
Hi, I'm Judy. I made what's just generally known as a hearth bread. It is poly-European because I'm a European mutt. They're all made more or less the same. And I also just wanted to let people know that if you cannot or choose not to eat either flour or gluten, there are baskets of crackers to also share in the Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Ivan.
I'm Ivan Polanski. Today I brought a challah, which I did not make. It's I obtained it from the Sickles Market. But it's served on Jewish holidays usually introduces the meal. In my family, when you have challah on the table, it usually means a good pot roast is coming.
Let me offer some words of blessing on all of these wonderful breads. May we cultivate within us the desire to join together around common loaves with friends new and old, with family near and far. May we have the love and patience to respect, indeed to appreciate our differences and seek common ground. May we have mindfulness about this food. Blessings on those who grew its ingredients, who picked them, who brought them to market. Blessings on those who prepared this bread and cooked it. May we learn from this table new understandings of one another and be filled not only with food, but with gratitude for our many blessings. Amen. And now, as the bread is cut and prepared for our sharing, I invite us to, you may rise if you like, in body and our spirit, to join in singing hymn number 406. 406, Let Us Break Bread Together. Now, this is an African-American spiritual dating back to the 18th century from the Gullah people of the South Carolina coast. So we retain the traditional text to honor its history. It's a song about community, sharing food, spirituality, and humility. 406, Let Us Break Bread Together.
The bread will now be served. As in our traditional fashion, I think it would be easiest to come up the side aisles and return through the middle. I wanted to ask, I know that there are some people in the congregation who have some nut allergies, and I'm just wondering, I know, I'm assuming the gluten-free crackers are nut-free. And yes, but I can't make any guarantees about the other bread. enjoy the feast and enjoy one another.
And if you'd like to stay where you are, that's fine too. However you want to get to the bread will come to you. You can come to the bread. Let's enjoy ourselves and enjoy this beautiful bread. Louise will play some underscoring to accentuate our good time. Thank you. I'm going to invite you back to your seats. I want to give a special thank you to Judy Stevens for coordinating our bread makers and the breads this morning. Thank you, Judy. That was really, really, really good. Thank you. I want to invite us just into a time of prayer and meditation this morning. As Cesar Chavez reminds us this morning in our centering quote, the people who give you their food give you their heart. We are grateful for this bread lovingly offered. May we open our hearts to one another. May this place always aspire to be one where you in your specificities, you in your totality, are seen and known as you see fit to share. And may each of us aspire to share ever more deeply of ourselves. For the beloved community depends on us all. It takes all of us to be us. May we use whatever privilege and power we have to embody a community where all can seek solace, solidarity, and safety. And this Sunday, as we come off Transgender and Gender Nonbinary Awareness Week, let us redouble our efforts to weave a tapestry of love in this community that includes the gifts of our gender identities. May there be room at this table for everyone in all of their complexities, so that we might become true siblings in spirit. Whenever we gather at the Thanksgiving table, we are aware of those who aren't here this year. Though absent in body, they are thoroughly present in spirit. We hold the Farkas family in our hearts. Joan lost her father this week. Let's just take a short moment to be in silent gratitude and in blessed memory. And I invite you to rise again. In body and our spirit, we'll sing together our closing hymn. It's hymn number 121, We'll Build a Land. Please note, as it indicates in your order of service, that where it says sisters and brothers, we will instead sing Siblings in Spirit. Siblings in Spirit, hymn 121.
Peace, love. land, building up ancient cities, raising up devastations from old, restoring ruins of generations. Oh, we'll build a land of people so bold. Like an ever-flowing stream. Build a land where the mantles of praises resound from spirits faint and once weak, where like oaks of righteousness stand her people. Oh, come build the land, my people, we seek. Come build a land where siblings in spirit, anointed by God, may then create peace, where justice shall roll down like waters, and peace like an air.
May all we have received be carried out from this place. May we sow hospitality. May we seek the true story. May our kindness, whether in private or public, transform the world with our love. Go now in peace and happy Thanksgiving.